My name is Kevin Shepherd. I'm a high school teacher over at Grand Valley High School in Parachute, Colorado. I teach AP US History, and for a project, several of my students will be interviewing veterans dating all the way back to World War II. We are working with veterans at the Community Living Center in Rifle, Colorado with Jeff Landstrom.
My name is Jeff Landstrom, and I'm the marketing director at the Veterans Community Living Center in Rifle. And just a little bit about our building. We're a 24/7 skilled nursing facility that caters specifically to veterans, their spouses, widows, and Gold Star parents. While we're one of five similarly purposed facilities in the state of Colorado, we're actually the only one on the Western Slope. And from the moment that Mr. Shepherd and I began talking about this project, I was immediately excited and ready to get it done, because this building really just contains a wealth of knowledge for anyone interested in learning about critical and pivotal times in our nation's history.
My name's Dylan Reeves, and I am representing Grand Valley High School. I'm here interviewing Tom Selheim, who is a Korean War veteran. I would like to start off by saying thank you for everything that you've done. You serving for us was, like, personally, I feel as if that was really courageous for you to even have the mentality to sign up. So I would really like to say thank you, and if it's okay, may I shake your hand?
Sure.
Is that okay, sir? Thank you so much. My first question is, did or do you have any family that has served in general as well?
Yeah, my little brother served over there, and he was attached to the Special Forces to the dog outfit. He used a track dog while he was over there.
Okay. Is there anybody else in your family that served as well?
No, we all hid after that.
My second question is, what motivated you to join the military? What was the big idea behind it?
Well, they had a quota system mm-hmm. in the county where I was living, which was Garfield County. Mm-hmm. Here in Colorado, and they had to meet so many people mm-hmm. that were going to fill their quota. And so since I was one of them, I tried to get out of it and had a college deferment. Mm-hmm. But since I was in part of the quota system,
yes, sir.
I went ahead and went into the service. I mean, I enlisted or got enlisted mm-hmm. in 1965. Well, economically, it was pretty good here in Western mm-hmm. Colorado. You know, they did, there were a lot of good things going on. And there wasn't a depression here at all. Mm-hmm. We had our two seasons. In the winter, we had the skiers. And in the summer, we had the hunters.
Okay, so.
So we had two different seasons, basically.
What was it like for your family?
Well, I think my parents were more or less hurt mm-hmm. that I had to go into the service and stuff, you know, mentally and everything. But you know, I didn't mind it so bad, because I thought it would be a good way to serve my country.
Mm-hmm. In hindsight, are you proud of the decision that you made?
Well, if I had to do it all over again, I'd say yes, because I was over there. I lived through it. I got decorated several times and everything. So, I had a pretty good time over there.
Wow. So you were decorated several times?
Yes.
With that, What is your rank? What's your standing rank?
When I got out?
Yes, sir.
I was a Sergeant E5.
Do you remember how long it took for you to receive this rank, or?
Well, I was in the service for 2 years in active duty.
Yes, sir.
And then I had 4 years of inactive duty. And so while I was in Vietnam, I served 12 months. And at the end of that time, I received my commission as a Sergeant E5. So when I got back in the United States, I had a rank of Sergeant E5 with 12 months in grade. So I got my 12 months in grade after I was there 12 months.
What was your primary job after training?
After training?
Yes, sir.
Well, I was a point man, which that's what I have on my hat. The point man for our companies and stuff, and that's what I did most of the time. I walked point for our platoon and for our company and everything. And then when things got bad from other companies and stuff, they would lend me to them for me to walk point for them. And that happened after the Pleiku massacre, which Pleiku got wiped out in, I guess it was the last part of 1965. And they needed replacements. And so I got to work with them, which was the Green Berets and stuff, for a while. And but I wasn't a Green Beret.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good.
While enlisted, did you ever meet someone that kind of popped up in your mind as special, or someone that just meant a lot to you?
Yeah, I sat in this room a few days ago and cried my eyes out, because a guy that was very close to me was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. And he and I were like brothers. And he died in a nursing home just like this. But he had a few medical problems that caused all of that and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, you know, he was like my brother.
What would be, you know, your last regards to that person?
Well, I would definitely say thank you, because I said it many times to him, and he to me also. But you know, I think that neither one of us ever thought about dying, you know, or anything like that, because we dealt with that in Vietnam. You know, we were there, we served our purpose, and we didn't much care whether we lived or died, because that was in our mentality, you know, at that time. After service, I went back to work with the Forest Service, which I had worked for before I got drafted. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it, because I loved the outdoors, and I didn't feel like I was trapped in any place, you know. And when my time limit had wore out with the Forest Service, you can only work so many months, and then you got to be off so many months before they can hire you back. It's a different system. Huh. But I worked for the Forest Service. I really enjoyed that, because we did maps and stuff in the backcountry, and drew campgrounds and things like that. But then after I worked for the Forest Service for a while, when I got laid off from there, I went to work for the State Highway of Colorado. And that was an interesting job because we surveyed all of the route in Glenwood Canyon when there was wasn't a bunch of roads in there. Uh-huh. We surveyed those and put out all the stakes and stuff like that so that the builders would know where to build, where to haul the dirt to.
Yes, sir.
But they, but that was it pretty much, you know, what I did and everything. And after the work in the field and stuff, I was required to come back into the office and draw all of the stuff that we had surveyed.
If that is all that you would like to share, I would, I really want to say thank you for kind of reliving this experience. And I want to also say thank you for taking the time out of your day to do this. Because to me, this is really like, wow. It's amazing to hear somebody else's story, to hear, you know, what they did, how they helped, how, you know, everything that just falls into play. And I, you know, I want you to know that I'm genuinely thankful for everything that you've done for our country and for serving.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you guys have an interest in this, because there's so many people today that don't have any interest or know what happened over there, or how we ended up over there, or how we came back from over there, you know? And those are important things to us that served over there, because, you know, it was, the reason was because most of us was drafted. And when we came out, it was kind of like a deployment, you know? We were just shuffled back to the United States. Mm-hmm. And we were done by that, by the big old airplanes that they had and stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, sir.
So we went in one way and came out another.
Like I said before, and I'm gonna say it again, thank you so much for your service.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you guys and your sponsors have taken the time to come here and talk to us veterans, because every veteran in here has a different story. And their stories of, most of the time, their stories of life and death, you know. And we that are here are usually the ones that are living but have physical disabilities and stuff, which keep us from operating in the natural world where everybody else works and stuff. So we live here and they take care of us.
Thanks for listening today. We're just so thankful for organizations like KDNK and educators like Mr. Shepherd, who are in the business of empowering youth education and are motivated enough to make these types of hands-on learning experiences happen in communities across the Western Slope.
This has been a collaboration between the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, Grand Valley High School, and KDNK.